Okay, thank you. Can everyone hear me? Just raise your hand. Yeah, okay, great. Okay, I will go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, called to order at 12:01 p.m., and we'll go ahead and do roll call.
Alan Sundagi?
Here.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Jeffrey Elwad?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
Dan Mulder?
Here.
Jennifer Lustig?
Here.
AJ Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Chase Kubish?
Here.
Kathy, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you say I, you're here?
Yes, I'm here. I.
Tim Scoville?
Here.
Peter Spear?
Here.
Ricky Riojas?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Stephen Greedy?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Hagyard? Tim, are you here?
I'm here, Tim Hagyard.
Thank you. Okay, let me ask you before we do item two, the new commissioners have not read those minutes. They're still free to vote aye on them, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't have to recuse or anything. You can
say for me. I can say, oh, Julia, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
You didn't look right to me.
Yes, so really the basic rules for recusal are if you have a financial, you have the potential for financial gain yourself from a motion, right? Or a conflict of interest or something like that. So if you do have any questions, please ask. But most of our stuff is you're not involved with the projects, you're just voting on. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So item two is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of January 10th, 2024. Would I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
Motion to
this
approve.
Is Ricky. A motion to approve as submitted.
Okay. Helen moved, and who will second? Ricky, will you
second?
Ricky,
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Okay, and just to point out to the new members, the reason we have a roll call vote is because we have people virtual and in person. So it takes a little bit longer, but Carla's very skilled at getting us through this. So, okay, could we have a vote on this, please?
Yes. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwak?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Dan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lustig?
Aye.
AJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Dan Scoville?
Aye.
Peter Spear?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Tim?
Aye. Tim Hagyard.
Thank you. Okay. Motion passes 18-0.
Perfect. Thank you. Item three is chairperson summary of current events, and we have a couple things. I'm very excited to announce that we have two new commissioners, and I'll just start in the order of when I heard about them. And our first one was appointed by the city, by the mayor and council. It's for the commission architect / architectural historian position. And we welcome Andrew Christopher. And I'll have Andrew just say a little bit about himself, and I encourage all of you, when you're in person, to welcome him and make him feel at home.
Hi, everyone. I'm Andrew, architect. Lived in Tucson for a while, went to the U of A, also involved with my neighborhood association and some other things around the city, and happy to be a part of it.
Any questions for Andrew? Okay, and when you do have questions, those of you that are virtual, please raise your hand by the little hand there symbol on your computer, or if you were on the phone, just speak loudly and say you want to be heard. Okay, thank you. So, and then yesterday I heard from Ian Milliken at the county that District 1 Supervisor Rex Scott had appointed a new commissioner back a while ago, but you were unable to join us till about now. And her name is Julia Date. So, Julia, would you tell us a little bit about yourself? Welcome.
Thank you. I have lived in Tucson for 30 years then. I have an interior design business for 20 years, and I am happy to be here. I have a little bit of historic knowledge. About 20 to 30% of the projects I work on are historic properties, homes mostly, and I'm looking forward to taking part.
Great. And as I mentioned to both of the new commissioners, you know, as you'll see, Andrew's willing to get step right into plans review, but Julia, you might want to see what's going on with the other subcommittees, and we'll talk and we'll give you a little chance to settle in. I think that would be better. So, great, thank you. I have two other things to mention. I got an invitation from the Old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association for La Reunión del Fuerte, which is on the 24th of this month. So, and it's from 10 to 12. They have mariachi mass at 10 a.m. And there's some Fort Lowell Day activities that follow that. So please, it's those activities go noon to 3. So it's at old, it's centered, I think, on the San Pedro Chapel. So if you wish to go, I think this is an invitation to me, but it's for all commissioners. And I can also I can do a scan of this, and or I can give it to you, and you can give it to Carla, and she can scan and send it to everyone. So, and then my last thing to mention is that a couple commissioners and I were on a non-commission-related meeting yet. So Amy Hartman-Gordon from Presidio Museum has been interested in starting conversations about the big anniversary of the founding of Tucson that is coming up. And so she tried to get people together from different organizations. And we started out with folks from the Railroad Museum, Historical Society, and I can't remember who else was on, but so we would normally take that up under our events subcommittee, but at that point I didn't want to change the agenda. We don't have anything really actionable. We'll talk about that next month. So just to get feedback on that, we have plenty on the agenda today. So that's all I have. My usually brief chairperson summary was a lot longer, so, but all for good news. Okay, item 4 is recently posted subcommittee minutes. You can go to this link for the minutes. Now remember that the legal action reports are usually submitted, well, they're submitted prior to minutes, and once the minutes can't be approved until that subcommittee meets again and votes on those minutes. So that's why there's sort of a time lag in when you see them at this link in two different areas, right? There's LARs and minutes. So you'll find those there. And that Carla on a test that link, so it's working. If you have trouble with it, please email Carla on or me. Okay, item 5, removal appointments to commission subcommittees. I do have motion. Carol Griffith, who was our commission archaeologist for quite a while, did not want to be reappointed, but she gave great service helping many projects. She was a member of the review. So I would like a motion to remove Carol Griffith from the Plans Review Subcommittee and appoint Andrew Christopher to the Plans Review Subcommittee. And we can do that in one motion. It'll take less time.
So
moved. Okay, we'll second.
Second this, Joel.
Okay. So, Ellen and Joel, is there any discussion on this reappointment and appointment? Okay, if not, go ahead and please call roll.
Allison Doggins?
Alice?
Okay. Andrew Christopher? Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwa?
This is Alice. This is Alice, aye.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have Alice, Jeffrey Elwa, and we have Carlos. Right.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lustig?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Jan Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Peter Spear?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Tim, are you there?
Aye.
And Julia Bates?
Aye.
Motion passes 18-0.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to item 6, which is reports from City of Tucson, from the County, and City South Tucson staff, and also from DTM. We need to change that on the next agenda. 6A is City of Tucson, Historic Preservation Office, Jody.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just a few things to update you on. The campus farms for the U of A Agricultural Center was listed on the National Register recently. You'll recall that the Plans Review Subcommittee reviewed it and provided comments to the State Historic Preservation Office. We also, you'll see, we're going to start doing courtesy reviews for the Capstone Project. It was already approved by Mayor and Council for the demo and relocation of those buildings. And we'll be doing courtesy reviews for the actual relocation into West University. I have them scheduled. I'm working on scheduling them for the 20th for West University. But we'll also be doing a courtesy review at a later date for the Plans Review Subcommittee on that. We are, as our office is working on doing our required training for the advisory boards. We have scheduled two trainings, one for the evening of February 28th, and one for, which is a Wednesday, and one for mid-morning March 2nd, which is Saturday. It is open. You're all welcome to come. We're going to have exciting discussions on Robert's Rules of Order, when not to reply all to emails, conflict of interest, development zones, TDC online, which is the permitting system. I know you got to hold on to your seats. It's super exciting, super exciting. So we will be discussing all those, but you're all welcome to come if you want to. And then last week we were notified that the Atkins House at Fort Lowell had a bit of a collapse in a corner, the west side, southwest side corner collapsed. Historic staff, along with Environmental Services and Corky Posters Firm and Durazo Construction met out there yesterday afternoon to figure out kind of what could be done for the property. We are currently waiting on a sketch, kind of a bid from Durazo, but it looks like we're going to try to shore up the corner. and potentially shore up the northwest corner too, which also looks like it's kind of a hazard. So the money is not coming from 407 because there are no 407 bond funds to put forth for this, but Parks and Rec is going to be looking for their operational funds to fund this work. So right now it's shoring to try to address the issue, and then they'll further evaluate it once it's at least stabilized. And those are my comments. If anybody has any questions, Ken.
Any questions, Ken?
You're muted, Ken.
You're muted, Ken.
Fast approaching 73, so I'm...
Speak up, we can't hear you.
Pass for those. I've been doing walking tours of Fort Law, and I've walked by the building several times on the tour, and I've made comments off and on. Then it's the roof. They need to get the roof put together that's been allowing the water to go in to start collapsing the walls. I'm not certain, but I'm assuming the building's out of adobe. I'm not certain of that. But the roof has been a mess for a while, and you need to shore up the walls, but you also need to do something with the roof.
And we talked about the roof while we were out there. I mean, it's amazing when you were walking over to the house, because we've had so much rain lately. The ground is actually spongy. There's a lot of give on the ground when you're walking there. Drew was mentioning that most of it's fill that's in that area, but it's also the way that the land slopes. It all slopes towards the house. There's drainage that comes down on the roof on both of those corners, and the drainage from those, there's like little small gutters. It's really not being directed away. So it's a lot of things. But for right now, they're trying to shore it up. They're going to close it up. If you get really close, there's a window there that's kind of just hanging by its header. It's now supported by nothing below. So hopefully we'll be able to get out there really quick to do this work.
One other suggestion, and I know this became a problem with the Costa Corridor downtown. When the weather warms up a little bit, it would be great to just dry out the building, open up the doors, and try and get the building to dry out a little bit also. Because it was just too much condensation. The Costa Corridor was having maybe $200,000 of repairs on it at Tucson Museum of Art because of the previous director and some other issues going on. But it needed to get dried out.
So that's it. Okay. Any other questions? Jody, could I ask you, commissioners who are on Teams, could you increase from your end the volume of your microphone? Can you do that at all? Or get closer to
so.
Because we want to be sure we can hear you. And we've turned it up as high as we can at our end. So, okay, thank you, Jody. Okay, item 6B is Pima County Cultural Resources. Courtney, or we have Ian here in person.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Scott, if you're on, could you please put up that organizational chart, if you could share that? Thank you. And if you could try to make it as big as possible, because I know it's small. So I'm going to start with an update regarding, I believe you guys are aware that the county has decided to do some reorganization in terms of our group, the Cultural Resources and Historic Preservation Group, into what is going to become the Department of Conservation Lands and Resources. The reorganization, again, is taking some existing divisions in the sustainability and conservation area and merging them together with the natural resources side of the Natural Resources and Parks and Recreation Department. This is an architecture that has met kind of the preliminary finalization that we're going to be passing on to Administrator Lesher, who will then pass it on to the board. The transition team have basically reorganized it so that there are NR is now broken into three divisions. Listed there, the Conservation Science and Education Division, Natural Resources, Parks and Trails, and the range and conservation land. For cultural resource and historic preservation, there was some back and forth about really kind of our fit, because if you remember in the history of Pima County, we have always been an independent body outside of being nested in a department, specifically because of our centralized role and the authority given to us under Board of Policy C-317. So while there is a fit to move into conservation lands and resources, we advocated for continuing to be an autonomous unit so that we have compliance responsibilities and regulatory responsibilities, not only for external departments, but for this department itself. So it made sense to keep us directly and lateral to these other divisions so we can inform our director and continue our priority, which is obviously conservation and historic preservation, where that may not be the priority for our rangeland managers, who are really the entities responsible for the physical assets, including the historic buildings that are historic ranches and so forth. So oftentimes, you know, there's a new need, right? So we may need to demo this barn. Well, we need to be the voice for its considerational preservation rather than demolition, and this is why it's important for us to stay lateral. Outside of that, we continue to operate as we've normally done. Interestingly enough, under our finance department, we don't warrant a division title because we're not big enough. Yet we continue to operate as a division in the programs that we manage. What this really is going to do, though, is that because of our staff size, we've been primarily operating in the regulatory role, right? That compliance framework that keeps all the departments and all of the different funding mechanisms that go through those departments meeting the necessary compliance requirements. That's our role, and we kind of are integral to kind of all those different projects, whether it be a major fiber line, that's a $54 million grant that we got from the Infrastructure and Broadband Administration, or, you know, a small real property review, we do it all and we review it all. What we are hoping to enhance with our merger in conservation lands and resources, really all the commitments that have been made since the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan with regard to the cultural resources element. There has been a lot of movement and building on the natural and biological and recreational side of that. But what we haven't seen is a real understanding of the commitment to the cultural resource element in terms of considering cultural resources from a landscape level as not static elements that don't need to be managed, but more of an active management strategy of identification, management, monitoring of the array of resources that exist on county conservation lands. So that is the next phase. That's the enhancement that we're looking to do as part of this merger. Any questions? And I'll continue to update you as we move forward on that.
Any questions?
I'm looking at that chart, and I see you off to the side, but basically what you're saying is by me off to the side, you're connected all the way across.
Correct. It is important that we continue to be directly tied to our director so that they can assess maybe potentially two differing opinions that are coming from the divisions that they manage. And then we continue to also have a dotted line directly to administration and the board to really be the advocates for historic preservation. So what this commission does for both bodies, we are doing internally in providing us that unfiltered advocacy voice for historic preservation and cultural resources management.
Great. We have a question from Carlos Lozano.
My question is on a different matter for the county, so I'll defer if anyone else has a question on this matter.
Anyone else? Please raise your hand. Speak up. So I have a quick question, Ian. So with Linda retiring, so sort of the structure of the chain of command among you guys, how does that look now?
So Linda, we were afforded a real great director because she was cultural resource minded, right? And so what we have right now is that Linda's exit, our structure stays the same. I continue to lead the group of Scott Courtney and another guy named Ben. and the four of us continue to operate as we did. However, Nicole Fife is now the interim director of this department, and she is getting educated on kind of our role and what we do, and we will be searching for a new director, doing a national search, because that interim position will be filled by a permanent staff member in the future. So that call, I don't know when it's going to go out, but that's the intent.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carlos.
So I was curious, last month, the Tohono O'odham tribe and the San Carlos Apache joined the lawsuit on the SunZia project. And I was curious, how much of SunZia goes through Pima County, and what is Pima County's position on that?
It's a great question. So we've been tracking this project since its inception. We have worked with SunZia through multiple different iterations of alignments, but it was clear that SunZia wanted to avoid any intersection of county fee lands, even though they were dependent on passing through Pima County. So they reoriented their line to avoid all intersection with county fee lands, which kind of takes us out of a much more, it ties our ability to really put stringent requirements and take a position on the project. Now, that said, it does pass through Pima County, and as a CLG, they are required to involve us in that Section 106 process. We have not recommended any opposition or support for the project. What we have done is to ensure that they adequately abide by the rules set forth in Section 106. And the lawsuit is specifically tied to a claim that the identification efforts of traditional cultural properties in the San Pedro Valley was inadequate. We support that, but never, because it's outside of Pima County, we never took a formal position on it. However, we did advocate as part of the consultation process, because we are kind of the representation of Pima County. Our group is the voice for Pima County in these consultations. We agreed that we did not, that the identification effort was inadequate, but we did not take it to actually tie ourselves to the lawsuit. It was more via the consultation process. So the line passes through the county, but it's all on Arizona State Land Department fee lands. And we have grazing leases on some of those lands, which affords us a little bit more voice in it, but no more so than just our being a CLG and involved in the Section 106 process.
Thank you very much. So could anyone, including Commissioner Steer, comment on the propriety or the purview of the commission commenting on this matter? Is that something that we could support,
Peter, I mean, this is in the courts now. The nation and the Earth tribes have filed on this. The main focus was the BLM's not doing a traditional cultural landscape study. They did archaeological surveys in both New Mexico and Arizona, but they did not address any of the issues. I was involved with this project with meetings going back 10 or 12 years on this project. The BLM neglected to do an adequate study of the impacts on the traditional cultural landscape. That's the main focus of the tribe's concerns. And as I said, it's into the court system now. And I'm not sure, you know, how long that's going to take to be addressed. The BLM is fighting this. The SunZia company has hired a bunch of high-profile lawyers to fight this. And so this whole thing is going to, I suspect, you know, in the next coming months, will sort itself out. We've asked them to stop all archaeological work until the courts make a decision on this. So far, they've refused to do that. So, you know, that's sort of basically what I have now. I mean, the courts are going to have to decide on the concerns expressed by the tribes and the lawsuits that have been filed.
Okay, thanks a lot. But you'll let us know if there's anything we can do, right?
Well, I mean, the tribes that joined in on this, I mean, you know, I don't think the commission can file a brief on this. This would have to come from county government. If the county government wants to support the tribes by filing a brief in support of their action, I suppose they could do that. But that's probably, Terry, a decision that would have to be made by someone in the county government, I'm assuming. I don't know if this commission, you know, if this commission can send a letter in support of the lawsuits. I mean, that's, we're getting into some legal matters there that I suspect Pima County would have to, you know, make a decision on how to deal with this.
Thank you, Peter. I think the best thing, maybe Ian, is for you to think on this some more if the commission, because we're not really, I mean, Ian was pretty clear about the group having standing because the CLG is the county.
Correct. I think
any kind of letter of support or filing would have to come from Pima County government.
Correct. I provide updates to Administrator Lesher and our administration in general. But I've heard of no action whether to prepare any additional information on whether the county would want to take a position at this point. I could relay that concern, Peter, if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I would suspect, you know, Pima County, you know, has been aware of some of the concerns and issues about this for years. This practice has been going on so long. If you want to check on that, Ian, I think that's fine. But, I mean, the commission itself, I do not believe, can send a letter supporting a tribal lawsuit that would have to come from Pima County government.
Correct. And we have very closely followed this project and continue to do so, both from a NEPA standpoint as well as Section 106 standpoint.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, Terry?
Yes.
Terry? Yeah, I'm going to have to go early today. If I leave now, is that going to – you still got enough people there?
No, we're okay. So should we – you're leaving right now. We'll have you as leaving at 12:33 p.m. And the others of you on the phone, if you can't speak up and you have to leave, could you – send an email to me and Carl and Anna saying what time you got off, because it's otherwise we have no way of knowing easily.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah. And the chat function's disabled, so you can't tell us that way. Okay.
Okay. Is it okay? I've got two more things.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So the next thing I wanted to update you on, and it'll probably be discussed in the Plans Review Subcommittee a little bit, the county is submitting a nomination for the St. Michael's School and Church. It's Joslick property, and the reason I tell you this is because we're starting a new initiative in reviewing all of our commitments, especially as a CLG. Pima County will be identifying one of its priority cultural resources each year, and we'll pursue a nomination independent of getting a contractor. We're going to do it in-house. And we believe that it's long overdue that especially some of our ancestral Native American properties are afforded the same consideration, even though they won't necessarily be publicized. There's been a lot of effort in Pima County to get real bias on the historic environment. So we're really looking at enhancing our list of National Register properties by tackling some of the well-known and well-documented county-owned priority cultural resources. Jody had mentioned Fort Lowell. The county's involved because we do have a conservation easement on that property. And the agreement with the city is that the county will kind of monitor and work with the city to provide support, ensuring that the preservation of those assets are maintained. And so we are just kind of monitoring that at this point and coordinating with the city as we move forward. Some other good news on Teatro Carmen. If you get a chance, go down and check it out. The facade is complete. Scott, if you have a picture, it looks fantastic. We were able to, they did some amazing work, and all that brickwork that came out in front of the plaster is just really amazing. So go check it out. Work continues on the interior as we move forward. Lastly, with Linda's departure, I have spoken with Catherine Leonard at length, and we both agree that Linda is, I can't believe it, but she's never gotten a Lifetime Achievement Award from the governor's office, and she is a perfect candidate. And I would like to ask the commission whether they'd be interested in either nominating her or writing a letter of support for her nomination.
I move that we be both.
So, I'm sorry, can I think, see if Carly made a cough drop?
So, Catherine Leonard had checked, and Linda has never been nominated for the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Governor's Awards. And we were trying to coordinate a nomination for her and wanted to see whether the commission would be interested in nominating her or writing a letter of support for that nomination.
I think for our bandwidth, be happy to provide a letter of support, okay. But if you guys coordinate that, we could certainly provide information and be a conduit for that.
Okay.
I've known Linda many years since you have. So, when is that due? So we know when to do.
So I can write the nomination, but the letter of support can come any time after that. I mean, the nomination is due end of this month.
End of this month, so we probably should have a motion to write a letter of support. Would someone do that? You already did that, Helen? Okay.
I'll second. JJ. Yeah, this is JJ. I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, great. And I'm sure, is there any discussion on that? And can I get you ladies to help me? Yes. There you are. Okay, so let's go ahead and have a vote on this.
Sandagi?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Carla Zuzano?
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwin? Jeff? Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lustig?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Kathy?
Oh, great. Thank you.
Peter Spear? Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye. Savannah, you're muted.
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagner?
Tim?
Aye.
Julia D.
Aye.
Jeffrey Elwood.
Jeff, have you left the meeting? I think not. Didn't answer.
So that's 16-0.
Okay. Thank you. Great. We look forward to it. Thanks. We'll be in touch about that.
Okay. Perfect.
Great. All right. 6C is City of South Tucson. Is Joshua Lafia here today? Um, 6D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, DTM. Jorge Castillo.
Yes. How are you? Hello. Yes, a couple of quick updates. I will be making a detailed quarterly update at the next month's meeting. So just
great.
A few
thanks
items to cover here. In January, City Council work session endorsed Stone Avenue as the preferred alternative for the north segment of the Tucson Bus Rapid Transit project. Next week, City Council will be discussing a revenue budget and the city's participation with the RTA Next initiative. Last week, DTM made a presentation at the City of South Tucson for encourage enhanced partnership for the El Paso Southwestern Greenway project, which is kind of an enhanced bikeway project for a segment along 36th Avenue. There's money for design. We've been working with the City of South Tucson on that project, but there's not any funding for construction. So no action was taken at that time. So maybe at the next meeting, Josue can give us an update on the city of South Tucson's position there. And lastly, the First Avenue Corridor project, the call for applications for the Citizens Task Force is closed. 45 applications were received. There's a two-step process for reviewing those applications. DTM reviews them, and then they go to the ward office. And the recommendation should be, is estimated to go to council in March. So that's all I have for right now. And, as again, I'll give you a detailed, update, next month on DTM projects.
Okay. Thank you, Jorge. We have several questions. We'll start with Ken.
Hi, Jorge. The question I have is, city council give any specific reasons why they selected Stone Avenue?
I don't have the details on that. I just got a very basic summary, but I can provide that at next week's next month's meeting.
Yeah, I'd be curious to how they compared Oracle and Stone. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, Carlos, who's next?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jorge. Yeah, I guess my basic understanding of the decision was that there was more vacant land on Stone. I probably, and my guess is it's all that vacant land between or south of Grant. But that's just a guess. And then on that same matter, Will that working group or that citizens advisory group, will that remain in force up through design, the one that started with the ETOD? Are you familiar with that?
You're on mute, Jorge.
For the rail line, I would need to check on that.
Okay, and then and then I did apply for the First Avenue working group. I didn't get a confirmation, so I just hope that they got that.
Okay, I'll be sure to mention that to them so they can send you a confirmation.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you, and I think our last question for Jorge is Ricky.
Yeah, I just want to know if at this point they've chosen Stone and there's no other option. And also if they took into account the fact that the neighborhood that's south, on the south part of that is, I don't know how to phrase that, that the neighborhood on the south part of Stone and the negative effects having that run through their neighborhood would bring, was that even a topic of conversation at all?
So I do know that part of selecting a locally preferred alternative is part of the early kind of scoping process that the Federal Transit Administration requires for them to proceed with the full scale NEPA environmental analysis, which includes cultural resources. So it begins a detailed process. So that will be looked at as part of moving the project forward.
So if they find out that it's not a good option, are they going to change their mind, or do you think they're just going to try to force it through?
That's
because it seems like now they're doing the research that we already know exists.
Yeah, I'm not the person to best answer that question, but I'll see what I can gather from Suntran for the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Terry, is there any way we could have this be like a more solid point? Because I think this is a bigger thing with the effect it's going to bring to the neighborhoods. Like on the agenda.
I'm sorry. So you mean for next month?
Yeah, to have like a North Bay Sur on the agenda. Because well, I know that there's people that are in the neighborhood that haven't been listened to that are really against having the rail go through there.
We could. So like Jorge said, he's doing his major update next month. And maybe we need to hear that. And I don't know what the time frame is for them moving forward, but it seems to me that a NEPA analysis takes, of alternatives isn't done overnight. So, one thing we could do, I'm happy to put it on the agenda. I could email Jorge and see how we could split it out. But why don't you be in touch with me about that? We'll talk about should we do it the next month or the following month, and then we'll draw Jorge into it
and see if we think it should be a separate item. That makes sense?
Thank you. Yeah.
Because we can always make a motion based on his update. I mean, that you know, if we need to.
Okay.
One thing I would add to that comment is that so the first phase of this project is for a bus rapid transit corridor, which is utilizing basically the existing fleet. It's not for fixed rail. So fixed rail is like a more of a long term project. So the bus rapid is more like it's a completely different type of configuration. It's like an early stage of what would come before fixed rail. They kind of like verify the volumes and the traffic for bus rapid corridor with some dedicated lanes, but it's not laying down rail. I do know that much.
Thank you. Ken, did you have something else?
Well, I just wanted to add for Jorge, and he's probably aware of this, that Bob Vint did an inventory of all the historic resources on Stone Avenue, and I think maybe that's something that might be distributed to the rest of the commissioners, and because that's obviously going to be intertwined between neighborhood concerns and the historic resources. And just like everything else in this world, this is the camel's nose in the tent for rezonings and other development down the road.
Yes, thank you for that comment. And so any coordination that we do with cultural resources or historic preservation happens in coordination with the city's historic preservation staff and protocols.
Thank you. Carlos, I'd like to, ask you to, be in touch with Ricky. Let's talk about how we should agendize this. Maybe you should talk about it in the transportation subcommittee as well further, correct?
Yeah, we do every month, yeah.
Okay. So let's coordinate on this before the next agenda. So, okay, well, thank you very much, Jorge. I appreciate it. And commissioners, for your questions. Okay, let's move on then to item 7, which is commission subcommittee and other committee, council, and commission status reports. 7A is plans review. Jody, do you want to mention anything additional or about St. Michael's?
Well, we heard St. Michael's right last time, so I'm putting that letter together to forward to the State Historic Preservation Office.
But I'm not sure the full commission knew that we reviewed it.
Oh, yes. We reviewed it. Alrighty. And then we're scheduled for the Plans Review Subcommittee on the 22nd. Michael will be running that as I will be out of the office.
Okay. And will you forward all those materials when we put add Andrew to your list and
yes,
and so forth, so he can enjoy the excitement of PRS.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Jody? Okay. Item 7B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Hager. Tim? Tim,
hi,
are you there?
This is Tim Hager. Yes, it takes a while from when you call on me and I press pound 6 for it to transfer over to allow me to speak.
Thank you.
I was not able to attend this last February 5th meeting, and I will get the minutes and report back next month.
Okay, thank you. Item 7C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. So the Historic Landscape Subcommittee met on January 18th. We looked at, made comments and recommendations for Activate El Presidio Streetscape Project, the Armory Park Master Plan in a preliminary phase, and the Children's Museum in a very preliminary phase. Our next meeting is on Thursday, February 22nd, which I realize now is Plans Review Subcommittee. Jody, what time is the Plans Review Subcommittee meeting?
You're at 10, and Plans Review is at 1. They don't overlap.
Perfect. So we had voted to move to a hybrid format, and because I'm here at Pima Community College and we have facilities, our next meeting will be at Pima Community College downtown campus, and I'll be including that in an upcoming agenda for our 10 a.m. meeting. I just want to warn people who are attending in person, the college is actually closed. Lots of great parking, but I will have doors open for us to meet, but we'll need to, I may need to meet you downstairs for the elevator. And that is it.
Steve, I would say that I haven't seen that agenda yet, and I know there was some email traffic that it needs to be formatted a certain way because it's now hybrid, that curriculum. And so, and remember, Monday is a holiday, so I'm going to need that really soon to look at and get posted. And we need to have feedback from Carla and Anna on that agenda. So just a heads up, because we can't expect them to post it the day before, you know what I mean, and get it in on time.
Of course, and allow for a comment period. Because it's hybrid, I'm trying to test someone. Would you be able to send me an example that I could use for a hybrid format of an agenda?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I'll email it to you.
Thank you. I just don't want our meetings to get messed up because we didn't allow enough time on that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I totally agree. We're waiting on location. So.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thanks. Okay, item 7D is Transportation Subcommittee. Carlos Lozano.
Thank you. I'm going to go through a few items, and then my last item will be, there'll be a motion at the end of it. So we met on the 17th, Transportation Subcommittee. We met with Pima County Department of Development Services, and also with Courtney attended, and we were talking about the their transit-oriented development amendment to their zoning, and we made a few good points, I believe, and also we were going to follow up with a written comment. I haven't done that yet. I'm prepared to do that, but Courtney or Ian, has that amendment been voted on yet by the supervisors, or do I still have time to submit a written comment?
Courtney, are you still on? Go ahead. You're on mute, Courtney. You're on mute.
I'm sorry about that. Yes, Commissioner Lozano, I do believe there's still time to vote on that. I did not attend the most recent Board of Supervisors meeting, but I can find out possibly before the end of this meeting, if you like.
That would be great. And if you can't find out, we'll send the letter anyway, because it can always have some good, even if it's because these matters will still be considered even if that amendment passes. So thank you a lot for attending that meeting. That was very helpful. The other thing, RTA is RTA Next is starting to move forward, and you may be reading different things in the paper. One of the things that we were hoping was that the projects that we don't like 22nd Street, would just drop off because of lack of funding. But then other people are saying that every single project is going to be funded. So that's not what I like to hear. But I have nothing more substantive on RTA Next. Rio Nuevo, was discussing a demolition in the Friedman block at their last meeting, and I was not able to attend that meeting. The Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation was not able to attend that meeting, and the transcript of the meeting has not yet been posted, so I have no idea what transpired on that. Potentially two demolitions in the Sunshine Mile that are completely unanticipated, not planned for in the original designs. So if anyone knows what happened in that meeting, I would love to hear about it. I'll pause for an answer, and then okay, so since no one knows, what I would like
wait, Carlos, someone is raising hand.
I can't
see who it is. It's Jen.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. So Carlos, I'm actually working on that project. So there's
at present, there's no demolition planned, but we had a discussion about it, largely because the problem is that, so on the Friedman block, there's essentially two sort of individual blocks within the block, even though it's called a block, but there's basically two storefront blocks, right? So the one on the western side, there's no issues with that. The one on the eastern side, the concern is that the project using the overlay, or even with this, even if it didn't use the overlay, that there is not enough we're basically 100 spaces underparked to revitalize that block. So it's a big challenge. So we've reached out to everybody and their brother in adjacent properties to get additional parking. We've been given some parking to the north. Unfortunately, that's parking that's only available after 5 p.m. And so there are two non-contributors that are sandwiched in between that little eastern block where basically the parking would largely be. So if anybody's ever seen the backside of that property, so it's a little different than some of the other blocks on Broadway because it is such a narrow corridor that it's literally impossible to put parking in there. So the plan is right now for whatever quote unquote demolition there is would be things like additions that are hanging off the backside of those properties that are not part of that historic street facing facade, for example. We've done that with the Solot Plaza area, which wasn't an issue. It was approved by SHPA. It was approved by the Park Service because that's a federal tax credit project, portions of which I would say just got approved by the Park Service. So Friedman Block, the original plan was to do a tax credit, but we're not going to pursue that just because of the issues of having to do partial demolition. So right now we're still in negotiation trying to find more parking opportunities and options. So the only thing that's on the table currently would be to essentially truncate the backside of those buildings so that it would still read as the historic street facing storefronts, but you would just have shorter buildings. So instead of having the space kind of run north to south, your spaces would run east to west on the inside. So you'd have larger spaces within the inside, but the outside still reads as the same building, basically. And then the two non-contributors that are there currently would, the front, basically the street-facing front would stay, and then the inside would become courtyard spaces for whoever the tenants are on either ends of those non-contributors. So far, the plan is to still keep that street-facing, elevation so that as you drive down the street, it still looks the same. It still reads as, a mid-century storefront, and then be able to then stack parking in the back. So there's lots of negotiations if there's a place somewhere to put, multi-level parking somewhere down the block, those kinds of things. So the original issue was brought up with Rio Nuevo to see kind of what, the response would be or the appetite is for even partial demolition based on the inability to revitalize a block because the city took away their parking, essentially. So the client is in a really difficult position right now because there's, especially because it's going to be a restaurant and the donut hole building on the Friedman West side. So it's just been a really, really challenging project. So the intent really is to do preservation work and to retain the entire block as much as possible. But it may just be that the buildings are just going to get shorter, but they're not going away.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. That's the best news I've heard all day. And so I'm going to withdraw the motion that I didn't even make. Thanks for letting us know about that.
But yeah, so again, I'm working on a couple of those projects along Broadway. So if there's any concerns and stuff, please, please, please reach out to me because there has been some kind of preservation panics created around it. And it's getting people really upset over something that's not an issue.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have two questions. We have Ken first. Ken, you're on mute.
Tough day. If you can hear me, I guess in a general question, just from my knowledge about parking issues, and maybe it's just too wonky, but does the shuttle to a different location where there is more parking qualify to make the number of spaces, or does it have to be on site?
No, we've talked about that as an option, like valet parking, for example. Again, these are all guys that are restaurateurs, so they kind of know what the capacity is for people's willingness to walk a certain distance to get any place. There's Lots of people don't use public transportation, unfortunately, even though there's adequate transportation options there. So most of the ones that are farther away, right now, we only have commitments for those spaces after 5 p.m. or very unlimited instances. And so if everybody decided to go to dinner at Friedman Block or go to the coffee shop or do whatever, then you wouldn't. We're trying to avoid having it spill over into Sam Hughes so that the neighborhood then doesn't get ticked off that everybody's parking in their neighborhood, which ultimately, you know, they're going to do no matter what. But, you know, the idea being that they're not the ones responsible for all of that spillover into the neighborhood. So there are some spaces right before you enter into Sam Hughes that are public parking spaces that are free and open. So that gives us like 10 spaces. But right now, you know, if the entire building stay intact as is, there's 100 underparked spaces to accommodate what they're required by the city. And even with the overlay, which, you know, if you use the overlay, which you're required to do on a Rio Nuevo project, you know, it drops the burden of how many spaces that you need with that overlay. However, there's still at least 60 spaces underparked, even with the overlay. So that's the idea, is to basically shorten the building so that you keep those buildings, you don't lose their designation or their status, but you still are able to, now between that and side parking, you're able to accommodate, you know, those requirements, those parking requirements.
Okay. Thank you. Just wanted to get educated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Courtney, you're on mute.
Thank you. May I answer the question, Commissioner Lozano? Asked before about the transit-oriented text amendment. The Development Services just got back to me, and no, the text amendment has not gone forward to the Board of Supervisors. In fact, it has not even gone to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting would be February 28th, and they told me that it has not been set on that agenda, so the earliest it could go would be March 27th, and it hasn't been set yet.
Oh, thanks a lot. And you know what I'm going to do, Courtney? I'm going to take you up on your offer and send you an email with additional questions on this matter, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. I guess I'm almost done with my report, except for Butterfield Stage is on our agenda, on transportation agenda. Did Commissioner Lamb have anything on Butterfield Stage?
Oh, well, I think, there's some great things happening with the Butterfield. And Courtney, actually, maybe Courtney, you're the one to speak to some of the exciting things that are happening after the and Helen. So, you know, Bell Preservation Society has some grant funds, and so we're in the process of creating a little mini documentary, but there's lots of other pieces to this. So I'm going to mute myself now.
I can speak to that, and I will also defer to Commissioner Lamb and Erickson on this. But most recently, we were able to attend a National Park Service meeting earlier this month, and this brought together many people from different agencies across the state and other states as well to collaborate and share stories about potential projects in the future. And so as we're putting these pieces together, we are currently forming our Arizona chapter of the Butterfield Trail Association.
Great. Helen?
Yes, I should mention that Courtney was selected president of this chapter by acclaim. And we have, I believe, 16 people on our advisory board, which is sort of amazing. So we'll see. We got to get the act together.
Thank you. Ken, this has to be our last question on this report.
Well, it's not a question. I went to those meetings also. Just to be aware of the fact that the Butterfield Stage stop in Tucson was just west of City Hall on Calle Real.
And I spoke with Homer Teal. I was still hoping there might be something of it left, but it seems during urban renewal and the federal building that's there in the parking that Homer said they got all of it. So there's nothing left archaeologically that we could look at, but lots of areas to be interpreted. The first real hotel in Tucson and the blacksmith shop with the ring meteorite was discovered. So lots of things to interpret in that location.
Mm-hmm. And if I may just mention one thing, there are at least two stations that are located on Pima County conservation lands, and a portion of the trail runs through the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve, which Pima County is working on managing and conserving cultural resources, heritage resources in that area. So I thought I would mention that.
Thank you. Is that it, Ken? Or did you have more questions? Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. That was a great report. Let's move on to item 7E, which is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Yeah, hi. I'll actually report on the last two meetings because I missed the previous one in terms of reporting. So the one in January, there was actually a presentation by applicants for funding under the City of Tucson's PCHIP program, which is affordable housing project presentations for that funding. And the presentations were scored by members of the commission. This is how LIHTC projects get the much needed local funding support to be competitive for state tax credits. So there were six applicants and presentations that were held with a wide range of scope and number of units in those projects. So that was the majority of the CEHD meeting in January. And then most recently, they met this month. There was the majority of that meeting was a presentation by Larice Walker, who is the chief equity officer for the City of Tucson. And there was a good discussion regarding equity in terms of its definition for housing, as well as discussion about how to define goals for the commission related to that looking forward. And then following that meeting, they had they're preparing for a retreat and kind of strategic planning for the commission. So I can probably report on that for the next one, but that's it.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Item 7F is budget subcommittee, and I've been gathering information on this because we've got to get it sorted out in its format and meet with the budget subcommittee and get back with Ian about the process, Ian Milken County, because soon, as will be reported in the next subcommittee report, we will have some expenditures that we'll need to move on. So, yeah. Okay, so item 7G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. I don't know that Commissioner Elwand is still on the meeting. Do we know? I mean, if we looked at the participants, if not.
This is JJ. I'm ready to.
Okay, go ahead, JJ.
That issue. Okay. So as part of fulfilling our responsibility as a commission, the Outreach and Training Subcommittee has research training opportunities, and the National Alliance of Preservation Commissions, NAPC, provides some excellent training opportunities, including their commission assistance and mentoring program, and the acronym for that is CAMP, which is their signature training that they offer. So CAMP is led by qualified preservation professionals in support of their mission to build strong local preservation programs and leaders through education, training, and advocacy. So NAPC has a team of trainers that includes commissioners, local, state, and federal staff members, attorneys, consultants, planners, and commission partners. Now, each camp is customized to suit a commission's or community's needs. So many of you were able to take the survey. Most of you did. There were we didn't have 100% participation, unfortunately. But the purpose of that survey was to identify topics that would meet this commission's needs for a required training. And I'll just read some of the topics that surfaced: alternative materials, legal basics, preservation planning, community engagement and building public support, enforcement and violations, and they're offering a new one called Why Preserve that was recommended. So our camp would have two sessions, and each session would include two training topics. And there would be a time-limited opportunity to make up a session if it was absolutely necessary. So a couple of things that we need to really decide at this meeting or get numbers on so that we can move forward in a timely manner. We would like to do this training in April, so there's a, you know, a bit of a time crunch here. And so what we'd like to do is just maybe we could do a hand count. Some, do we have to do a verbal count, Terry? Here's what we want to determine. What's the best time of day? What days, you know, are best for the majority of commissioners? So are Saturdays acceptable? I'm just going to read through these and you'd be thinking about it. Would Saturdays work? Is morning better, afternoon, or evenings? And we need to know those kinds of things because the trainers live in different parts of the country, and so we have to consider time differences and things like that. And so we want to make this fit into everyone's schedule as much as possible. So,
Carl, I do suggest we do that. I mean, would it be better for you to send out an email and ask for people to respond, or if we just did a roll call and asked people to say what they were doing? And then somebody would have to go and tally that up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know, actually, JJ and I are meeting with the commission, the people from NPC on Friday. So the goal of this discussion was, do people prefer weekends or evenings? Or daytime, you know. Mm-hmm. So obviously, if the majority of the commission feels that weekends are better, then we would be looking for a weekend schedule. If people feel evenings are a better idea, we'll be looking at some evening dates. If people feel the middle of the day is better, we'll be looking at the middle of the day. So we just need some feedback on
Okay, so I think you could call and people could rank their choices, evening, days, evenings, or weekends, right, with number one being your first choice. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So choose one.
And it's going to be virtual training?
Virtual training.
Okay.
Yeah, and to Helen's point, we really need to have this information Friday when we meet with Marie, so that she needs about 4 weeks to really line up the trainers and the time zone differences are going to make a difference if we choose evenings.
Yeah, so I would suggest that we do it that way. If Carla can do a roll call now, Ken, did you have something pertinent to this? Because we have a lot more in this agenda.
I have my hand up.
I'm sorry, I can only see who's first.
Ricky.
Oh, Ricky, go ahead.
Me. This is Ricky. You could do like a SurveyMonkey or a Google Forms, which would be really, really easy to just email out. And when people respond, SurveyMonkey automatically stacks.
People don't respond. Not everybody responded to the survey with several opportunities.
Many emails and begging people to respond. So I think we have to do it today so they can meet with the trainer. And Ken?
Yeah, my question is, how long of a duration commitment? Are these 2 hours, 3 hours?
Each one is 2 hours, so it's 4 hours.
Okay.
And how far apart would they be? Like, if we're voting on a Saturday, would it be like two Saturdays in a row?
We have to look at the options that they give us. So it might be one Saturday with a break in between.
Two Saturdays with a break in between.
Well, it could be two Saturdays, or it could be 2 hours in the morning, break for lunch, and 2 hours in the afternoon.
So the total training is 4 hours.
4 hours.
Okay, so commissioners are expected to attend two trainings.
And it could be two evenings. likewise, you're not going to have 4 hours of training in one evening.
Okay, go ahead and let's do that. So your first choice, say what your first choice is, day, evening, weekend. Okay?
Okay, Alice Ndaghi?
Alice, are you still in the meeting?
I was muted, so I cannot do the weekends. I can do evenings.
Okay, thank you.
Angie Christopher.
Again.
Carlos Lozano.
I can do a Saturday. Is that one of the choices?
Mm-hmm. Weekend, yes.
Yeah, Saturday, but not Sunday. Thank you.
Ellen Erickson.
You're
open.
Jan Mulder.
Weekend.
Jennifer Lustig.
What's the question again? I mean, my weekends are kind of my weekends.
Day, evening, or weekend.
Yeah, what's
rank them 1, 2, 3? It would probably have to be an evening because of my work schedule.
Thank you. JJ Lamb.
Yeah, I'm going to make any of it work, so you can skip me.
Thank you. Joel Ireland?
Yeah, I can do any time. You know, I'm retired. I could do evenings, Saturdays, daytime. Whatever you said, I'll be there.
Thank you. Kathy Kubish?
I would prefer evenings. And as a second choice, Saturdays. But would prefer evenings.
Thank you. Ken Scoville?
I'm open, but I would prefer to have it, because I do have a lot of things, 2 hours 1 week and 2 hours the next week rather than a 4 hour commitment. But other than that, I'm open.
Yeah.
Thank you. Peter Spear?
Peter's on.
He's gone. Oh, yeah.
Ricky Riojas?
Saturdays are typically really bad for me because we have programming on those days. I can do weekdays or Sundays.
Thank you. Savannah McDonald?
I would say days, and depending on the day.
Thank you. Seth and Greedy?
Weekends are my first choice. Evenings are my second.
Thank you. Karen Zachinski?
Evenings, first choice, second choice, weekends. Don't really prefer daytime unless it's absolutely necessary.
Thank you. Tim Hagyar?
I am flexible. This is Tim Haggard.
Julia D.
Days, first choice, evening, second.
Thank you.
This is very helpful.
Yeah, so JJ, I mean, you guys need to coordinate.
Right.
You know, if, yeah. So,
Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a point that I was talking with Jody Browner about some other things, and even though Jody's heard that we're working on this, I think it would be really appropriate to talk to Jody a little bit about some of these topics, because some of the topics are really more plans review type topics, you know, maybe. And maybe, you know, just to get some feedback from Jody would be appropriate. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
But what I did want to say is these are available, is it for 60 days? In other words, because it's virtual, you can either attend at that time or you can independently watch this video at a different time. They track the video so we know who's delinquent. But there are a lot of options. But mm-hmm. obviously, it'd be nice if we could do it at the same time so we can talk about it.
Yeah, have as many as possible at each thing. Mm-hmm. So this was good information. So are there other things? I know, Helen, you mentioned about the free subscription that they're willing to give us.
Right.
And let me just bring this up to Carla. So they're willing to give all commissioners free subscription, free membership per year in this group, right? And that they're telling, I felt that there needs to be a way for commissioners to opt out, because instead of Helen just providing everyone's email. So I wonder if we could, you could craft a little email to send me, we'll send it on to Carly, you can send it out. And we need to have people with fun, you know?
Okay.
And because it's not really fair to just give everyone's email out if they want it out, right? But it's a group. I've been to some of their trainings before and read some of the material. So, and is it also possible to get, like, Jody, you guys don't have a subscription to NAPC, right? You know, you do? So you have that stuff. Okay. And we can ask Pima County to go again. Yes. Sorry. Okay. All right. Anything else for your subcommittee? No?
No.
Okay. Thanks for that. Okay. Let's move on to item 8. Update on Pima County College-owned historic hotels on Draftman. Commissioner Lozano or Scoville or who's your building?
Hi, I'll go ahead. I've been attending the meetings and off-site training and events. There's one more meeting this month and one last and next month, and then that's all the time the college is going to allot us. We're in the process now of putting together a recommendation for the three sites, whether they were the motels are retained or demolished, and so we're going to just talk about those things. The college is constantly moving the goalposts, and it was that we were going to report to the acting chancellor. Now we're supposed to turn everything in to the board for a decision. So things are getting compacted in a way that's not very good for preservation, but we're going to see how this transpires. So we just had two more meetings, and the last meeting was not very well attended. There were more staff from the college than there were people in the community. So it's been an interesting experience, but obviously I'm going to be advocating, first of all, for preservation. And just wanted to clarify, and the college knows this, I'm representing the commission, but I'm also there as a private individual. So I just wanted to make that again. So that's the current. It's going to go to the board probably the first or second week in April.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Carlos, did you have anything to add?
No, Ken got that covered, man. Thank you, Ken.
Okay.
Hey, great. Thanks so much. Item 9 is update on status of the Solari Chapel at the University of Arizona. We're going to have Commissioner Erickson update us.
Right. We seem to have encouraged them. Collectively, the preservation community of Tucson, plus the commission wing, and also the dean of the architecture program at the university to convince them that they needed to put this on extended hold. So just at the moment, they're not going to take apart the Solari Chapel. One of the things that's come out of this discussion, however, is that the university does not have a list of their historic resources. And I'm not sure exactly where we should go with this, but I think to have a large institution like the University of Arizona that doesn't actually have an inventory of their resources is problematic. So I don't know whether we should be recommending that they...
Well, let's find out more. I mean, Jody, do you know any...
Jody?
Are those listed in the city records? Because there's
some of the sites that are designated. I think they were designated prior to ownership by U of A. There are along Seaway.
There are two city lands.
Yeah. And then there's the district that goes in there, National Register District that goes in there. Outside of that, I don't.
I mean,
yeah.
Could you contact Chippewa and see if they have a list? Let me start before we.
Well, they have a list of the Kipps Farms house because that's listed.
No, I think the problem is that the whole Solari thing could have been avoided if they had had this potentially historic resources.
So how do we find them? I think that's something we could certainly recommend. If you want to recommend it for an item on the next agenda, we can.
Okay. Jody,
I can reach out to Shippo and see what they have, if they have any surveys that have been done. And we could start, we could provide them some information, because who knows who their preservation person is, that if they're with the program, so to speak. Okay. That's good news on Solari Chapel that they're not immediately dismembering it. Dismantling it?
Yes, they were going to deconstruct it and use the pieces in the Andrew Weil Center.
Yeah. Anyway, so good work on everyone's push on that. So any questions for Helen? All right. Item 10 is TEP Midtown Reliability Project. Commissioner Lozano, now this is important because we're going to have a motion, correct?
Yeah. Thank you. So we've discussed this matter at several previous meetings. This is, if you'll recall, this is about the huge transmission line towers that are being proposed. And we're talking like 75 to 110 feet tall, like 5 feet wide at the base. I mean, really huge transmission towers that are being proposed to go right through the heart of Tucson. In a previous meeting, you may remember Commissioner Haggard specifically refuted a lot of the points that TEP is making in the media. So I'm not going to go into that there. And some of those are really not even in our purview. But we're talking about it today because they released an updated map of the suggested routes, and they crossed a few of the routes off of the map, and they left several on, and they're doing a compatibility assessment trying to determine what route. So the problem is that all the routes either go through or are adjacent to historic or potentially historic landmarks, districts, landscapes, and commercial corridors. So it's really, I personally do not believe that we can pick a route, and I don't think that we should even be forced to do that. That's just not even something we should even be doing, because an alternative exists, and that alternative is undergrounding. And it's also not our job to find funding for our undergrounding. It's also not our job to refute the inflated fiscal claims of the price of undergrounding. So as long as an alternative exists, I think we should still push for that alternative. And so here's the motion that I would like to make. It's just for another comment letter, but in the matter of the Tucson Electric Power Midtown Reliability existing plans, I move that TPCHC should send a public comment letter CCing mayor and council, et cetera, reaffirming our recommendation that TEP continue to explore ways to underground their 138 kV transmission lines, because all of the proposed routes pass through or are adjacent to landscapes, districts, heritage, commercial corridors, or landmarks that are historic or potentially historic.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we've got Ken. Is there a discussion? Okay, let's go ahead and vote on that, because we've got to get this motion out.
Alice and Doggy?
I abstain.
Angie Christopher?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lustig?
Aye.
TJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephanie Greedy?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagger?
Aye.
Tim?
Okay, thank you.
Julie?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes
16-0. I don't have that many because I've got with the abstention. It actually, an abstention is like a nay.
Okay.
Because there's no grounds unless you work for TEP. That's a concern. Okay. All right. Anything else, Carlos?
I've got to have it. They want the letter by tomorrow.
I got it. Thanks.
Oh, okay. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Ken, did you have something?
Yeah, just a quick question just to throw out to the group if anybody has any knowledge on this. I've seen several reports about having our own utility company rather than having Tucson Electric Power. Does anybody know if that would be a possibility? And is that something we could saber rattle more to maybe get them to think a little bit, TEP, to think a little bit more of doing some kind of compromise underground? Does anybody know if that's a valid proposal to have our own utility company?
Usually electric companies are allowed to have monopolies because of the expense of starting up an electric company, which is why TEP is allowed to be the only electric source in Tucson.
Well, I've seen several news bites about that there's groups out there, people trying to establish, and I don't know if this is just pie in the sky or if it's actually a possibility that other communities have had their own private utility company.
I don't know. Okay, anything else, Carlos?
No, thanks.
Okay, let's move on to item 11, Plan Tucson update. We've got either Jody and Corn is left or Commissioner Erickson.
So we had a working group yesterday. The historic working group was small but animated. It was me and Helen. And a couple other people, kind of working through, the goals and objectives. So the next meeting is scheduled for March 18th. It'll be in person from 2:30 to 5 p.m. They don't have a location yet, but they're working on that right now.
Nice.
Thanks. I would like to, talk a little bit about it. First of all, I felt that our facilitator was actually very, very good. And so that was very helpful, and we worked through about 2/3 of the recommendations there, the principles that are involved. What I would like to do would be to advocate or set up a very short working group, like just for the time between this meeting and the next meeting, to take a look at those as a whole. And I would very much like to have Alice and Ricky as part of that, because part of it includes recommendations to include underrepresented communities in that. And it would be like one meeting to go over all of this stuff and try to make sure that it adequately reflects the mission. But also brings into the fold the questions of cultural heritage as well as the preservation of buildings. So how do I?
Well, first, let's ask Alice and Ricky, would you be able to participate in that one meeting?
Yes, I would. This is Ricky.
Yeah. Alice?
Hello? Yes, I could do. Was there a meeting date set already?
Well, no, Helen couldn't work with you on that. So it would be you, Helen, and Ricky.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
And possibly add Carlos to that.
Possibly Carlos.
Yeah, because it does have an overlap with transportation.
Okay, so let me ask, because it wouldn't affect the quorum of the commission, but if the four just got together, do we need to do a motion because we're running out of time?
That is a good question. Let me check.
Or do you think we should just have a motion really quickly to do a temporary work group to review information for Someone want to make that motion?
I make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, that's Carlos. Okay, let's just vote on it because it's easier than you.
Okay, Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Carla Lozano?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jennifer Lustig?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Tim Scoville?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Greedy?
Aye.
Karen Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Jill Mindy?
Right. Okay. Go for it. And probably, I'm not sure they have to have, should they have an agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
It's really simple.
Send it to me when you have it on.
Okay. Yeah. Let
us work on it. Okay. Yay. And it'll be hybrid or, you know, whatever.
I think virtual is going to be easier for it.
Do we, you know,
to have it virtual?
Virtual. Okay. All right, thank you, thank you. Item 12 is Pima Prosper's update. Courtney, do you have an update for us?
I don't have an update, but I do have a question for the commission. What would be our next step in submitting any documents for the commission to review, such as the cultural heritage chapter or the outline? Or as many chapters as we have as a whole on Pima Prospers at this moment, would I work directly with a representative or a representative from the commission, or would the documents be sent to the commission? We're almost ready for that.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you give me a call and or okay. Email me, and I'll chat with you, and let's just go through some of the alternatives. But the deadline, I'll be mentioning it later, for the next agenda items is the 29th. In this month, so we want to get stuff out as soon as possible so commissioners could actually pay attention to it, right? And read it. I mean, everyone's so busy, so just contact me if that works.
Also, isn't JJ?
JJ, aren't you the rep?
Oh, yes.
And maybe we could get you in on a meeting with Courtney.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Okay, so JJ, Courtney, and Terry to me. And, you know, you could, JJ, as the representative, maybe you could send me some dates that work for you. And, Courtney, you do the same. You know, email us. Why don't you email us, JJ, and we'll just respond to you and figure it out. And I can set up a Zoom if that works or whatever, right?
Okay. I'll
do
that today.
Does that work for you, Courtney?
Yes, that works for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Item 13 is update and discussion of city-county activities now that city and county have voted to retain a joint commission. So let's go with 13A, City of Tucson.
We are still continuing to work with the county to go over their language. Then that's the only update we have.
Okay, and that's basically the language for any code changes, right?
With the county, yeah.
With the county. Okay. And you haven't worked on any potential code changes that you aren't reading. There aren't any that you've been discussing.
For the city?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. You let us know. Okay. Item 13B, Pima County. Does that sound about right, Courtney? You guys are just going over your stuff?
Yes. We did not meet last month, but we will be meeting 2 weeks from now, and our Pima County internal team will be finally meeting with our county attorney to discuss how to proceed with the zoning code text amendment. And we don't have an update. It's the process has been slow for the past 2 months.
Ken, did you have a quick question?
You're muted.
You're unmuted.
Courtney, did you receive a copy of, I was on with Helen and several other people,
where we did the research about the commission and the history and all of those things. Did you receive a copy of that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I just want to make sure you did get a copy.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, I distributed that widely. Okay, thank you. Item 14 is update on archaeological site damage at the border, and that's Commissioner Steer, but he had to leave the meeting, so there's no report. Item 15 is Commissioner's summary of current events. Does anyone have an event they'd like to share? Raise your hand if you're virtual. And anyone at this table have an event?
Yes, I would like to mention that Rio Nuevo is tomorrow doing a premiere of their virtual reality tour of the barrio. And did I send that? I should send it this afternoon because you have to sign up.
Yeah, send it to Carol and she can send it over. Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
I'm happy to do it, but I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. But it sounds like a really interesting project that you're able actually to see the structures that were there for urban renewal. It sounds like a very exciting project.
Thanks. Hey, Ken?
Yes, I just wanted to clarify a couple of things on the big Fort Wall reunion event on the 24th, is that the neighborhood is doing the reunion aspect of it, but the Presidio Museum is now the major agent for the Fort Law, is also going to be doing activities and a concert and all those kinds of things are going to be there. And if somebody feels so motivated, on the 18th at 2:30 in the afternoon at the San Pedro Chapel, I'm doing a talk for all the site hosts about Fort Law and the history of Arizona and how they all interconnect. So if anybody's curious about Fort Law and history of Arizona and the interrelationship in that area, not just the fort, there's all kinds of other stories about people living in the desert in that area. I'll be doing that, and it's just free if you want at San Pedro Chapel, 2:30 to 3:30 on the 18th.
Okay, and so Carla's going to send out the invitation that I got from Old Fort Lowell, so anyone can figure out what they want to participate in. But thank you, Ken. Thanks for speaking. Okay, any other commissioners? I don't see any other hands. Okay. Item 16 is called for the audience. Did we receive any public comment?
No, we didn't receive anything.
Okay, none received by the deadline. Okay, item 17 is thoughts on inclusivity. Just for Julia and Andrew's information. We had a task force on inclusivity, and one of the recommendations was that we actively, and I can send you that report at some point, but one of the recommendations was for the commission to be more engaged and think about inclusivity in the community and good things and bad things, you know, or things that hit you in Tucson or the county today or since the last meeting that you would like to bring up on inclusivity, if that makes sense. So, I mean, we just heard that, who was it that met with, was it the cities? It's not an inclusivity officer. Who is it? Token. And equity officer. So that's, equity is sort of inclusivity way, right? Yes, no?
Yeah.
So that's promising to know. And have you met this person, Joe?
Larissa is really nice. She has some training that we actually just had to go around bias and interviews, I think it is. We just got it sent the other day. So anybody who's interviewing for doing the interviews for somebody coming into the city, it's training that we have to take.
Well, that's a good inclusivity point.
Uh-huh.
But be thinking, folks, this has sort of been a very silent and quiet item. You know, so it's, we either should keep it on or take it on.
Well, maybe we can actually integrate this into
Plan Tucson. Yeah, that'd be something to think of. Yeah.
I'm sure they've reached out to Larissa. I'm pretty sure they had some conversations, but I can ask about it.
That'd be great. Thank you. Okay, item 18 is schedule and future agenda items. Our next meeting is March 13th. And, any items that you would like to be considered for the agenda to be sent to me by February 29th. And it's a real day here. So I thought, well, if it wasn't a real day, then nobody could have me. I didn't send the agenda. I can cancel. No, we'll do that. So, okay, thank you. I really appreciate everyone being on this very long meeting. Welcome to our new commissioners. You had a baptism by fire today. But they've been getting longer and longer because we're involved in a lot of really important things. We're busy. So thanks, commissioners. And we're adjourned at 1:46 p.m.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you. Have a good day, you. And Julia, hopefully we can set up a time to talk at your convenience. It's something we have to do tomorrow, unless you're super anxious to talk on the phone.